Here shall we pray. Heavenly Father, we're grateful this morning that we realize that in your word it is said, have you received the gift of the Holy Ghost, knowing that there is a great difference between the gift of the Holy Ghost and the Holy Ghost himself. Also knowing, Lord, there is a great difference between the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ himself. And we stand here this morning, Lord, believing that we are 100% correct on that identification, that the great Holy Spirit himself, the fullness, is here today. Elohim is here. And the very gift giver here in one person, your great presence, manifested and understood. And we're grateful for it, Lord, that we have this realization, that we have not confused the part with the whole, nor the whole with the part, but understand these things that have not been understood hitherto. We are grateful for it, Lord, and we take it, Father, as the seal of approval upon us this hour, as the prophet said, to understand the word, to have a revelation, is the evidence of the Holy Spirit. Also understanding that the full revelation is here at this time. Also understanding, Lord, what came forth under the seals by way of the thunders, etc., is exactly sufficient, maybe even abundant, to put us into the rapture. All these things, Lord, we understand by faith, and this morning, Lord, we study your word to know more about it. We give you the glory, Lord, as you help us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, we're on number 22, the God of this evil age, and should be able to finish it in not too many more messages. Now, on Sunday, September the 2nd, in message number 1, we came to the place where Brother Branham was speaking on Christ's Word Bride, in contradistinction to Satan's Word Bride. And he said that as Satan's Word, as Satan's ecumenical, ecclesiastical, world church bride was coming to a head, even so Christ's church bride was being united back to her mate, who was her head, which was the person of the Word of God made manifest. Now, you can read that, of course, with different understanding, but he said she was being united back to her mate, who was her head, which in turn that head was the person of the Word of God made manifest. So you could actually say you're looking at the Logos, which would be no different from the other understanding, which would be the person of the Bible, the person of the Bible, which would actually be then God himself, who is Holy Spirit, made manifest. No matter which way you looked at it, you could combine the two of them, you'd be exactly right. Because one thought, though perhaps not in perfect apposition to the other, one thought is there with the other. Now, he said, because the bride is Word, even as he is Word, her nature would cause her to recognize her mate. Now, you're talking about mates. And when you talk about mates, you have to go back to Genesis chapter 2, and in 18 to 20, and God said, it's not good that man should be alone. He should have a mate. I will make him an helpmeet for him. In other words, I will make someone of his own kind to match him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field. And now this is just something thrown in here, which is an interpolation giving you an understanding of what he's saying in verse 18. Actually, you should have verse 19 before verse 18. So let's say, out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam and to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle and the fowl of the air, to every beast of the field, but for Adam there is not found an helpmeet for him. The Lord said, it's not good for this fellow not to have a helpmeet, like everyone else has got a helpmeet. So, I'm going to give him one. That's exactly the way it should be read. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and so on. So what you're looking at here is that as every creature, was genetically and generically paired. God said, I am going to genetically and generically pair Adam. And Brother Branham says that the very nature of this bride would cause her to recognize her mate. Now, I'm sure that when Adam saw a female baboon, he didn't say, ha-ha, that's my mate. And I'm sure when the dog saw the cat, I'm not sure about this because there was no trouble in the Garden of Eden at that time. Cats love dogs and dogs love cats. But speaking in terms of today, there isn't any dog unless he's a little bit undoggy. Would say, hi, pussy. And then she'd say, hi, doggy. No, it's rough, rough, and spit, spit. What I'm trying to show you here is the recognition is generic and genetic. In other words, it's in the genes and it's in a species. So that the species, even to the extent of birds, where you have several kind of finches, they do not crossbreed. It's in them to know by nature. And the nature is genetic and generic. It's really generic first before it's genetic, but it's really genetic before it's generic. It's terribly confusing because you understand what I'm saying. Everything has to be in the spirit before it's in the physical. So it's a little confusing, but it's not all that confusing. You look at nature, and by reason of nature, I'm talking of the whole of nature, and bringing it into the living part of nature, where a decision is to be made by the fact that this part of nature moves and breathes and walks around, is not like trees, and plants that depend upon a cross-pollination through the breeze. But even notice how the breeze is like the Holy Spirit bringing the life to even the what we call the inanimate, and yet, you know, they're there living in their own little way. So, Brother Branham is talking here of life coming from life and recognizing that life that is of the same genesis, therefore having the same nature. So he says the nature that is in this bride causes her to recognize her mate, which Brother Branham categorically speaks of as the Word, which is not merely Logos, but is Rhema Logos. Because many people would say, okay, I believe that's a supernatural picture. I can believe that that could be Logos, but when it comes to this man Branham, I don't think he's got the Rhema. Hasn't got a natural interpretation. So because the bride is Word, even as he is Word, her nature would cause her to recognize her mate. Now then, wrapped in his vindicated Word of the hour and for the hour. Because there is a Word of the hour and for the hour, and the Word of the hour always was, but it was not for. It's just like if you didn't come from apes and bedbugs and God knows what. You're elect of God, you had to come by way of Adam and Eve. Serpent seed is never going to get in. So therefore you are of the hour and for the hour. Because you are here living, and for the hour is, if you're a true child of God, really elect, you're going to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You're going to be literally transfigured, metamorphosed. The final stage of metamorphosis, you will bypass the ground. The incubation period, as it were, a sleeping period, though the soul doesn't sleep, the body does. But you as a tri-unity, body, soul, and spirit, will be completely in Christ. at the end time, just like him, wrapped in his vindicated word of the hour and for the hour, and being part of the word groom, she is true to him in every point. There again, we have a couple of thoughts when you think of true in every point. Number one, likeness as to the figure and composition and configuration, which is, he is a man, we are also in that particular form, and as he was transfigured, given a glorified body, true human glorification, so will we also. Number two, there is the likeness as to the thought, the characteristics, and the faith as to the intrinsical qualities. Having come from the same source, then, we are truly identified with him, so that as to composition and whatsoever, there can be no difference. But as to the magnitude, there is a difference. She has no thought or emotions toward another man. She passes the test of 2 Corinthians, therefore, 11 and 2 to 4, where her mind has been already sealed off, and she is completely impregnated by the word, so that no other word can get in, which I call a mindset which everybody hates, and I've got the guts to use it. Your bunch of filthy, rotten, devil-possessed, Trinitarian, filth of the universe, serpent seed, hate our mindset. They abuse it, they cry against it, but they recognize their own mindset and forbid us to have one. I may die for my words, and I hope I either go to heaven or hell with bells on. I don't pretend I'll have the shining light of a Stephen on my face. But at least then I hope I have the growl and the darkness of a tyrant who's ready to die for my faith, even though it be apart from Christ and not a part of theirs. You say, Brother Vail, don't Brother Vail me, you have your own stuff. I'll go my way, you'll go yours. She is completely captivated with the proper mindset that comes from being one kind. Genesis chapter 2, which we read. Do what you want. Today, continuing his thought that the bride knows only one head, or as husband, and hears only his voice, and is persuaded and led only by him, we're going to begin a paragraph we read last week, paragraph 162, on page 38, and we will be hearing from Brother Branham's lips some of the things I have just covered. Now look, if a woman out here is married to a man, and she goes out and makes love with another man, like even the serpent did, and has an affair with him and comes back to her husband, he should kick her out. Is that right? It's exactly true. Because the affair positively is actually for one thing. It is for childbearing. It becomes an affair when it is strictly one of pleasure. All right. So therefore, this woman then would be pregnant with another man's child. Then let her go to that man and take care of her and the bastard. You say, that's rough, I have love. I'm glad you got love. I'm happy for you. What about it? We may be stupid, but God isn't. I'm not pretending I'm God. I'm just talking about this here to Brother Branham. See, you ought to kick her out. Is that right? She must be true to him because she's vowed to him. The bride of Christ is vowed to Christ, and he is the Word. See? He is the Word. Matthew 25. We've gone over this many, many times. And In Matthew 25, they were sleeping at midnight. The cry came, behold the bridegroom. Doesn't say cometh. That's not in the Greek. Behold the bridegroom, and it doesn't say go out. It says come out, because the word for come out and go out is identical in the Greek, but you know exactly by the truth here, you got to come out, because that's Revelation 18 and 4. All the virgins arose and trimmed their lamp, and the foolish said, hey, we don't have any oil in our vessels. We'd like some. And they said, no way. Go and get your own in the marketplace if you can find it. So those that were ready, the oil in the vessels, they went in. And the others came knocking on the door, even though it was too late, the door shut. They said, Lord, Lord, open to us. And he answered and said, I used to know you as my wife, but I don't know you as my wife anymore. This is also 2 Thessalonians, where the catching up can also be called the divorce or the separation. So he puts her away. Should a man then not put away his wife? And the answer is true. And you will say, well, just a minute now. What about the man that she messed up with? It was a serpent, and he had every bone in his body changed. You think he didn't get his comeuppance? Every seducing whoremonger shall go to the lake of fire. Brother Branham categorically said the man was made for the act, and it's up to the woman to say no. You say, well, just a minute. Why don't you talk to the prophet? Why do you argue all the time? Why do men say, well, I'm the head of my house, I'll have my family do so-and-so, and off the word? What are you anyway? Maybe you don't like the way I preach. I'm going to tell you, if you don't like the way I preach, then for God's sake, don't talk to anybody, because it always comes back to Levi, and I will quote the person sitting in this audience, and I will quote the names where it came from. See, on Judgment Day, I'm not going to be judged. My white throne's now. And I quote the prophet, I am the head of my house, I'm responsible for my wife, and she will listen. She finds it hard sometime. But if she comes against my will, she will answer to God. I've done all the answering I need when I say this is the way it is. Now, you men are no different. You may think you are, but you just kid yourselves, that's all, if you think you're different. She must be true because she's vowed to him. You say, well, just a minute, I figure the man ought to be true. Are you going to tell me that Jesus Christ isn't true? We have two types, the male and the female. One is the groom and one is the bride. And our groom is never faithless. Brother Branham said, I better not try to put him away, but he can put me away any time he wants to. Just because a man's a man doesn't mean that Jesus is like him. But you have a type. And so, therefore, in marriage and divorce, you honor the type and see the type, because Brother Branham was bringing the spiritual. Not even wink at the other side. A woman should not even wink at another. Of course, that's scripture, the moving of the toes, you know, and, and the twinkling of the eye and all that kind of thing. And then men, you like to go to the seashore and wrap your toes and legs around the woman, and she's supposed to be like a hunk of stone. He's not making advances. Come on, don't be stupid. Say, Brother Bale, what are you talking about? Well, I know what goes on. Yeah. Yeah, I know what goes on, why parents get their hackles up at times. She should make no signs, no motion at all toward him, for she is absolutely a bride to one bridegroom. We don't want any of your mixed trees, your denominations. What's Brother Branham suddenly hitting that for? He's talking about the man and the woman. He's talking about Christ and his bride. He's talking about where the bride went off. She got into denominations. All right, now listen. Paul came with the actual pure gospel. He said, I cannot change a word. An angel cannot change a word. God himself cannot change a word, or God becomes cursed. You say, just a minute. Now, don't just a minute me. I'm going to tell you something. Jesus was the Archangel Michael. In that form, before he took on the other form. And he stood side by side with Satan leading in worship. And it was the leading in worship that loused Satan up. See, he didn't have fellowship. He wasn't the Son. He was only one by a creation, as it were. But Jesus was the Son, and he couldn't louse up. So, he being an archangel, if he'd have been off one word, he would be cursed. It was Satan, the archangel, that got the curse. Look in the Bible. You can see it. When he was represented in the beast, he said, you are cursed. Every bone in your body's changed. You'll eat dust upon your belly. You're going to crawl, and there's no redemption for you. He said, you're going to be bruised right on the head. And he was. His lineage went. Everything about him went. He'll never come back. Serpent seed will never come back. There's no redemption. Mixed tree. See? Now, that mixed tree already was in Paul's day, and notice how it came about. Off the word, and off the word by whom? Off the word by people that wanted a leadership founded in a man, not the Holy Ghost. I'm of Apollos, I'm of Paul, I'm of Peter, I'm of this. He said, listen, he said, you can have 1,000 instructors, but you've only got one father, and it was by the gospel. Paul himself did not accept fatherhood, because there's only one father. He wouldn't accept it. The others accepted it. And he called them all together in Ephesus. Let me tell you, I'm free from the blood of all men because I'm not shunned to declare the full counsel of God in you. But I want you to know this. There are men sitting right here, as Brother Branham says, right in this tape. He said, people sitting right in this church. And Paul said, there's people sitting right in this little gathering together, this little holy convocation. He said, the serpent is God in here, and you've already got divisions, and you're taking people after you already. He said, you're dividing the bride of Christ. And remember, in the first church age, Paul, the apostle to the Ephesians, set that church in order. And in the first church age, God came on the scene in a vision to John, who was a scribe and copied it, and said, already you're fallen. Now, the children of God became disobedient to the word. Just like Eve. It doesn't say that Adam was. Adam was not fooled. He did not accept the word of his wife. He accepted his wife. You say, well, he listened to her. Sure, because she was messed up. Before I ever said it, I found out Brother Branham said it. He actually prayed Christ. He went with her and got her pregnant. So she'd produce a seed. And now you've got two seeds side by side. And that's perfect denomination. Your mixed trees of your denomination. Where people come by and they usurp a headship. We'll talk about that as we get a little further down the line. We don't want any of your denomination. Be true to Christ the Word. He'll vindicate it to be true. 2,000 years have gone by. And it's not been proven true yet. What am I talking about? The resurrection. Because Paul said, if all I've got hope in this life is Christ in this life, he said, forget it. I don't even want it. And Paul's not come back yet. So, all right, now, paragraph 163. No, sir, not even any emotion of anything toward making love to him. Who's that? That's Satan and his gang. Join his ranks, his denomination, see? And the hierarchy. Now, or let him get you in his arms or in his care, or talk to you over this way, that way, and you listen. You listen to only one voice. My sheep know my voice. A stranger's voice shall not follow. What is his voice? Any man's voice is his word. And this is it, the Bible. Not one word of it added to or taken from it. Just stay right with that voice. A stranger they won't follow. Just our domination. Okay. All right, now. It tells you right here, not even any emotion or anything toward making love to him, nor join his ranks or anything else. Now, the minute you have ranks, you have positions assigned. Right. Ranks like a marching army. Ranks like a serried body with a hierarchy above it. I wonder just how much hierarchy there is in heaven. Let's go get a scene in heaven. And you got here the fourth chapter. Verse 4, round about the throne were 24 seats, upon the seats 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment. And then it says here, numbers in the sixth verse, before the throne was a sea of glass like to crystal. Amidst of it was a throne. Round the throne about were four beasts full of eyes. So you got actually 28 things here. That's all you got. And now remember, the only hierarchy we can see here is God's own regime, which you have his throne, and you have these there. Brother Branham said the 24 elders were the 12 apostles and the 12 patriarchs. That's fine if he said so, I got no problem. The four beasts, of course, a manifestation, the four living creatures of the Spirit of God moving. So what you got here then, you have here, actually what you see, the scene in heaven is a matter of the progenitors, the matter of the source. So we see the great source, and we see the sources round about him. And they all have to do, not specifically with the human bodies, though the human bodies are involved, but with God has set forth to be his children, which definitely has to be the Word. And you can understand that because when Abraham had a child by Hagar, it was absolutely outside and is an abomination then and it is an abomination now. It had to be 100% by Sarah. It could only come way, and this was a child of the Word, because it said the word of the season was, you are going to have a child by Sarah, so why are you trying to defer from it? Why are you trying to leave it? What are you doing anyway? So this child was a complete mess. So we see government here. And this is exactly the same thing that you see that Paul preached in Ephesians the 4th chapter. He says here, there is one body and one spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, above all and through all and in you all. Then he said, but according to grace that God allowed, he allowed a fivefold ministry. So, there is a ministry allowed, and there is where everything went haywire, because Satan raised up his fivefold ministry. And the poor children of obedience were turned into disobedient children by the way that they went. Now, over here in Revelation, the 20th chapter, you can see also in heaven, what's on earth here, verse 6, where blessed and holy is he, that part in the first resurrection, the second death, there has no power. But they'll be priests of God in the Christ and shall reign 1,000 years. Now, notice you'll find in here this whole band of believers, the actual bride of the Lord Jesus Christ, those a part of the first resurrection, are going to do their ruling and reigning through ministering to Christ. As Brother Branagh said, the faithful wife ministers to the husband what he provides for her to minister thereby. And so you find here is this word, you don't find a hierarchy here, you find a solitary kingdom with a king at the head. It's like a monolithic government. No, it's not a monolithic government. It's a mono government. One person in charge, which is God himself. And then later on, coming down through the Son, which is the Lamb upon the throne. Now, as to the position of the future, I don't know too much, and I really do not care too much, because it is not outlined in a way that I know too much, nor do I find that Brother Branham said very much about position. Matthew 24:45-47 may give you a bit of a comment here. Who then is a faithful and a wise servant? Notice chapter 24. You see, who then is a faithful and a wise servant whom his Lord has made ruler over his household to give him meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I shall, and he shall make him ruler over all of his goods. And so on. You can find in here where God Almighty is allowing us the understanding there is a certain ruling, there is a certain privilege. But you see, it's already found in Revelation chapter 20. We are reigning and ruling with Him. And it is a matter of worship and a matter of fellowship. And the worship is contingent to the fellowship, because if there isn't a true fellowship, there can't be a true worship. See, there's got to be rebellion. Worship is not given only through suppression or through the utmost of liberation and liberality. Ours is under liberation and liberality. It is not under oppression. The church oppresses. Satan oppresses. God liberates through liberality. And Paul speaks of the liberality. You can't find that with Satan. So, he's saying here, have nothing to do with the hierarchy. That's why your pastor, actually, in a church, outside of the fact there could be more than one, is the sole authority in the assembly. That's like where he's as a spiritual husband. So the getting of a pastor means that you'll listen to him. As Paul said, obey them that have the rule over you, who teach to you the word of God. And it turns right around and tells you absolutely flat, if a man teaches one thing and does another, he ain't fit to listen to. That's why the pastor must positively be an example in as many ways as he can. Okay, so then beware of hierarchy. Watch anything with ranks. See, that's where the elders came in. They are people who want to preach. Now, let me tell you something. A truly ordained man of God that's a preacher, fivefold minister, he does not want to preach. He hates the thought of preaching. He doesn't want to do it. But it's woe is me if he doesn't. I've explained to you time after time my own call. I wrote in a little box. My mother gave me my 21st birthday. She didn't have much money, but she loved me enough to buy me a Bulova wristwatch. It was very nice. I think it cost, what, 25 bucks or something? I imagine it did. That's a lot of money back there in their such terrible depression. I was grateful for it, and I wrote on a little piece of paper, put it in that box, and I said, now, Lord, fine by me. I'll be an elder in the church, but under no consideration do I want to be called to preach, so forget it. I knew I was called, and I hated it. And one day in the most tempestuous period of my life, hating every step, I said, okay, God, if you demand it, I'll do it. And the strangest peace flooded my heart because the decision was made. Now, you explain that you can't. I'm not trying to make you understand. Forget it. You can't. So forget it. If it hasn't happened, you'll never understand it. Comes to the place, though he slay me, yet I'll trust him. No matter what happens, that word must be proven true in your life. And I'm not saying you're going to be like Jesus Christ. And nobody is, but there's no such thing as a hierarchy in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll notice it says there is one God and Father above all and in you all, and that should take care of it. And when the word comes forth, no matter what that source is, by nature you will go to it, or you ain't got the nature. This genetically and generically of God. Now, you say what you want, but if I'm crushing you, I'm sorry. I'm going to preach because the tapes go out. Hallelujah. And that's my contract. Now, you don't ever let him get you in his arms or in his care. Selling out for a mess of pottage. Selling out to be like somebody else. Can't stand the pressure of standing with the Word. Can't stand the pressure of standing with what we believe to be a supernatural picture in the sense of a supernatural being there. Claimed by George J. Lacey himself, which doesn't mean anything because there's a new head of the FBI Department of, of Documents and so on, like the old George's dead. So it doesn't mean much. But you listen to only one voice. My sheep know my voice. Why? Because generically and genetically, a sheep must know the shepherd's voice. Now, how does he get to know the shepherd's voice? By being a little lamb under the shepherd. The shepherd's there at his birth. Like Brother Branham said, the baby drops in the mother's womb, a spirit ordained of God, allowed of God, given of God, but not of God. Because it's not God's spirit, it's a created form. Goes into that baby, the baby begins to breathe and cry. And I got an article just the other day I read where some big mouth Trinitarian prostitute woman said that Brother Branham believed in abortion because he didn't see the baby was merely twitching muscles and nerves. I got news for that lousy prostitute harlot who no doubt has short hair and wears slacks and gets up in the church, who says that Brother Branham's wrong because he's a Trinitarian. How does she know about it? I got news for her because she should have read the rest where Brother Branham said to that Mormon guy, you will see that stillborn baby in heaven because Brother Branham believed in the soul separate from the spirit. What does that stupid female know? And her stupid husband, no doubt grovels around for her favors. You say, Brother Vail, you're rotten, you're wicked. Thank you, I love the compliment. I'd take nothing less. You say you made yourself a judge. You're a liar. A vindicated word by the judge himself. Don't talk to me. And don't talk to your friends because they'll tell me what you say. Every now and then I say these rotten, dirty things, don't I? But come on, brother, sister. Please, please, please. Please come to one word. If I should be right, what judgment you're sitting under this morning? If I'm wrong, I'll bear the judgment, not you. And I'm not afraid of being vitriolic against that Jezebel. The same spirit of Elijah is here. Am I going to sit down and listen to her caterwauling? I warned you and told you. I only got this a while ago, but book after book is being written against Brother Branham. And they quote the arch liar of all. If I was Billy Paul, I would sue the company and the man that wrote the book. I'd drag him through every court in the land and every court in the world. And I'd stand with the kid if he had the guts to do it. But I suppose it's best not to worry about it. Understand, Brother Branham told a man my worst fault is fighting for him too much, so I can stop it, I guess. Why, listen, this sheep with this nature, generically and genetically, because he is a sheep, understands the shepherd, because the strange thing about this shepherd, it is only an appellation. It is the Father who acts like a shepherd. That's why he's the great teacher. He's the great educator, because he's there for the birth. He is there to lead and to instruct. That's why the Bible calls him a teacher. Most people don't want a teacher. They want a nice little feeling inside that makes them feel all nice and goody, goody, gooey, gooey. You know, say, well, you know, the thing is, you may be a sinner. I hate your sin, but I love you. Well, if the blood of Jesus Christ took care of sin, how come he doesn't love that sin and just let him pass in? Read your Bibles. He's rebellion, a child of rebellion. He spurns the word. John 3:15-17, read it. Read your Bibles. Hebrews 10, you'll find it all in there. I got no problem. I love it. I just want the word. That's all I want. See now, a stranger they'll not follow. A stranger to what? The fellow that comes along and says, I am the word. And he is not the word. Jesus said, all that ever came before me were thieves and robbers and killers and murderers. Because they said, you listen to me. When did a prophet of God ever said, you listen to me? Never did say, you listen to God. Denominations say, in hierarchy say, listen to me. Everybody that purported to be a leader is not a leader until... Now listen, let's keep reading. What is his voice? A man's voice is his word. There again, it's generic and genetic. Because he's one with what he says. Wow. So I can see a man, he does this and he does that. That's just a manifestation. The blueprinting, the coding is in the word. A man's voice is word. And he points his Bible, this is it, the Bible. Okay, what is he saying? He's saying the word of God for the word of God. Now what am I saying? The Bible, but revealed for the children who are the word. If he is the word, and is called Logos, and he stands in the midst of the church and says, these are my brethren, because we got one Father, what are we but word, also Logos? In its own order. Which he was the complete Logos, and we are a speck of the Logos. What's the difference? You got out there a whole Pacific Ocean, billions and billions and trillions of tons of water. And in his pristine state, never mind the junk they junked in it now, but back in the old days, when it was full of good fish and everything else, you could take a drop of that water, no matter where you got it, you could analyze it and call it the same water, then I and you as a child of God are one drop of water compared to the Pacific, compared to Christ. But thank God it's the same, has the same constituents. So, not one word it added to it. Not one word added to the body of the word, and not one body added, or one member added to the body of Christ. How can you do it? How can you do it? Look it. In the life of Christ bringing forth bodies, there will come forth no more members than lie in his own life stream. As included or precluded by God in his omniscient wisdom. Now we're allowed to practice birth control if it's natural. God practices birth control. He doesn't have the world filled with billions of people. He's got his own children. The sheep hear the voice. The goats don't. No. See? Just stay right with that voice, which, of course, is the word. Now, the voice, any man's voice, is his word. Well, what does a voice do? A voice articulates for the man as concerning his own relative wisdom and abilities. Now that's what it should do. Now what about the man today? He's the son of man. So what does the voice do? The voice will articulate what it is with that person at this time, and we're not talking in generalities concerning your stinking word out there. We're talking about Christ and his word present with his bride. So, what will be this word of this man? It can be none other than what is ordained for this hour and manifested to be so. Now, if you don't have the nature, you are not going to come to it. How many times do you think a shepherd raises his voice to attract a group of animals of which they are goats and sheep? I think twice ought to do it. Brother Branham said so. You're not continuing to try to win people in. I'm convinced that Noah didn't go up there and try to shovel them in. As I said, you have to build an ark as big as the world. How are you going to float an ark as big as the world? You know what happened? The ark would have taken over the world. Do you think for 1 minute that you've got a good heart toward everybody out there hoping you're going to make the millennium? When Satan himself at the white throne and all those resurrected serpents, he come against the holy city and against the holy God, the holy encampment is what it is, to destroy it. Oh, come on. Let me tell you something. I'll tell you later on, I guess. About the millennium. We'll go into it later. Now, a man's voice is his word. This Bible. That's why it was said over there in Revelation that John turned to see the voice. A scriptural voice. He said, a stranger they will not follow. Now, let's just take a look at this stranger bit for a second. I think this is quite beautiful. At least I like it. It says, now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the family, the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto a holy temple of the Lord, in whom you're also built together for an inhabitation of God through the Spirit. Now it says, listen, you guys. You were out there. Now you know the difference that you're not out there. How many truths see in this message? Now again, I don't want to be mean. Look, I'm going to be preaching pretty soon. Not this morning, but I'm going to take a good vacation. I may never come back. I'm tired. I'll be honest with you. I'm seriously thinking of folding my tent. But as long as I'm here, I'm going to speak. And I want to ask you this. How many true followers of William Branham? How many true followers of Christ the Word? How many are with Logos and Rhema when they show every evidence of Pentecost and going back there and disavowing what Brother Branham said, even in the simplest terms? That's why you women know that though I love you, I hold a pretty hard hand here, and I will. Don't you get out of turn around me. You're looking for too many excuses, and you're going to get them. Women will look at the tree of the knowledge of evil, where men won't do. Now listen, gals, I know you don't like it. Then you better shut your mouths and watch it, because I can tell when you open it. I wasn't born yesterday. I believe I've been called to a ministry. And I believe I'm true to it. I hope I am. If I'm not, I better be. Now listen. A stranger they won't follow, because that one time they were under the stranger. Little kids adopted. Maybe they took the little baby away from the parents. The government does things like that, you know. You don't own your family anymore. The government does. And I'll tell you who they'll give your kids to most times, to the Roman Catholics, because you got care parcels and things. It always goes through the Catholic Church. The great dope, the Pope, you know. Sure, they'll go through him and the Catholics every time. Don't think they won't, they will. The only Protestants get in there is because they bolster up the Catholics. We made the image to it. Don't think we didn't. All right, now you get this poor little kid, he's in this adopted home. He's like that little eagle out there, you know, the little eagle. That heard cluck, 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 you know. Mama hen digging in the manure and finding a few nice pieces of oats. You can just imagine how good that oats is once it's gone through that horse's stomach. The Bible says every table's full of vomit. So when Paul said his head was a manure head, what was in it? Semi-digested food. So here's this little eagle out there, and the mama hen goes cluck, cluck, chip, chip, and he goes looking. He said, oh, my God, I can't really stomach that stuff, but I'm in here. And when the eagle screamed, he said, hey, that's what I'm looking for. Do you think he doesn't recognize then a cluck, cluck, cluck of a chick, chick, chick against the screaming eagle? These guys knew they were strangers. You think the night that I received the Holy Ghost, I believe I did, that I didn't know something was wrong? I went out of there saying, thank God for the Holy Ghost. But I'm one of these and I hate it. Too many chickens. Every time I heard somebody preach the word, I get so thrilled I want to go, you know, dance on the ceiling as well as the walls. Good thing you'd have big fans that could have hung on and go whirling around at outer space. I combine my word with a lot of jigging. I love to do the Irish jig, the reels, and the Scottish sword dances, anything I could manipulate. I admit it was the word that turned me on more than anything. The emotions ran dry. All right. They know the difference between a stranger, what they were and what they are now. This is because of the covenant that we have in Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, according as chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, without blame, without love. The same way as he chose every single true human being as to come through Adam and Eve. Well, I think I'm going to come through this. Oh, no, you're not. And you're going to get back to being a true human being, of which none of us are. Last one was Noah. You say, what about Jesus? He was super. No, he wasn't just a human being. He was different again. Having predestined us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself according to the good pleasure of his will, and so on. And Paul said, you got that way by my gospel. Then do you think for 1 minute that a true bride will not be able to pick out the true word no matter what's going around? And the answer is the bride always will. That's why when the church started to get messed up, the bride always knew what part was for her. Even though she never got to it all. No way, shape, and form. And though it began to come back under Luther, they all came out under Luther, supposed to come out. Then they came under Wesley. They came under Pentecost. And the last little bit will come under William Branham or else. And that's another thing this big mouth, short-haired, former Pentecostal bugaboo was against. Couldn't stand, you know, that we had a mindset. You know something? You've got to be a complete jackass mentally, physically, and spiritually not to know that a mindset is a God-ordained thing, or two and two will make five. Oh, huge. You know, wonder why up here I get so mad and so bored at times? It's because it's so stupid. Stupid. Professing themselves to become wise, they're perfect jackasses. Look how they tried to work because of the computer and make everything work in sevens, the new math. I'm not saying it's bad or wrong. I'm just saying, hey, when you're looking to man, he's going to get mixed up because he doesn't have a clue. Actually, the sevens actually point to the end time because God does everything in sevens and man finally had to get around to it. And he couldn't work it, though. He couldn't work it. But it's all right by me. Listen, it shows right here where we were and what we strayed from. It was sheep that went astray. It was the children of obedience that got fooled into disobedience, but there was a sacrifice for it. Because God knew it was going to happen. See? Now, this is because we are genetically and generically one. We have a common denominator. Believe it or not, it's God. Huh? Come on. Let's read it again. One body, one spirit. Even you're called, one hope you're called. One Lord, one faith. And have the secret, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And he's talking of Christ and the bride and the whole thing. A common denominator is God. Aha! Right there, the Catholics don't want it. Right there, the Protestants don't want it. Because if they say they are of God, they think there's a price tag attached whereby you must be as holy as God so you've never sinned. That's why they had the Immaculate Conception of Jesus Christ. And what is the Immaculate Conception? It's not virgin birth. It's that Mary had no sin. Mary did have sin. Her parents had sin because they trace her back to David and he had sin. And you can trace David back to Abraham and he had sin. And you can trace Abraham back to Adam and he had sin. Absolutely. Adam wasn't fooled. Wasn't deceived. He went right into it just the same as Jesus did. Typing Christ. As in Adam all die, and so in Christ all are made alive, generically and genetically. We have a common denominator, 164th paragraph, as she is part of the groom, true to him in every point, waiting the wedding, uniting, not of the ecumenical council, but in the sky, the wedding supper she has given, she has been given. This is for our church, he says. Now she's been given and revealed to her, been given by revelation. The revelation he got was given to her, the seven sealed mysteries of the Bible. She sees the folly of the deceiver. In other words, the answer to the devil. So very close to the truth that almost deceived the elected. She sees it. Now, listen. As she is part of the groom, that's Eve is part of Adam, the bride is part of Christ. Eve was not true to him. But the last Eve and the resurrected Eve will be true to him in every point, waiting for the wedding, uniting, not at the ecumenical council, but in the sky at the wedding supper. Okay, there again, you see the generic and the genetic. Why? Because she was in him. Listen to me. I'm going to make Eve just like Adam. Genetically, generically, she is of his species. Everybody's got a species. Everybody reproduces. But I've got it in one person. And it can't reproduce that way because all nature puts it the other way. So I'm going to take it out of Adam and put it right in her. Generically and genetically, she was Adam. And in the body separated, there's where the sin came. Same with us. As I say, the Catholics hate it. Protestants hate it. You can't have it because they expect too much out of you. Man cannot obey the word of himself. But he's got one thing in his favor. He has the nature to believe it if he's a child of God. See? Positively. That's where the whole trouble comes. You disbelieve. That's only one sin is disbelief. She's part of the groom. True to him in every point. What does it mean true to every point? Generically and genetically, she's got to be. Essentially, aesthetically, spiritually, she's got to be. But as long as she is in the flesh, she's got trouble. And I speak of male and female. I'm talking of bride now. You'll have tribulation. And there's only one kind of tribulation. That's brought on by sin. Brought on by the nature, the physical part. The physical part never was of God. It is that which God created to make a clothing. The soul is of God. And the two-soul doctrine, where does that go? I don't understand anybody. I don't care to. Uniting. Already the union has been going on and is on now. Waiting for the actual wedding supper. Not the ecumenical council, but in the sky. Not at Rome, but up above. Wedding supper. She's been given this now. She's been given and revealed to her the seven seal mysteries of the Bible. She sees the folly deceiver so very close to the truth that almost deceived the elect. She sees it. All right. What is this woman has? Ephesians 1:17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, you're all full of the Holy Ghost now, it's just about all over, it's temporary. The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom, revelation, and the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Now remember, he didn't inherit the saints. He bought them. So this is something different. What the exceeding greatness of the power is trusted to believe according to the working made power, which he wrought in Christ, and so on. So you can see here what he is talking about here. The spirit of wisdom comes forth to open the seven seals, to unite time and eternity, to fulfill every scripture, to open the way to the tree of life so that she can get there and be immortal. To her it has been given. Now let's watch this, brother, sister. According to the law of Branhamites, it hasn't been given. You got to wait till Brother Branham gets back. Well, I don't care what happens when he gets back. He'll do something. I don't know what he'll do, but I'm not interested. That is in the sense of being interested then, and I'm not interested now. I'm interested in now what is going on. And it says she's been given it. The seven sealed mystery, which is the opening of the book of redemption, and under the seven seals of seven thunders, which he said gave us the ability to go into the rapture. That's the tree of life. At the same time, getting away the mixed tree of death. In other words, you got the true husband. You're no longer under domination of the enemy, the spirit of wisdom. Now she sees it. No one but the bride can differentiate at this point, because she sees the folly of the deceiver so very close to the truth that almost deceived the elected. Now, Brother Branham calls this the folly of the deceiver. The folly of Satan lies in him perpetrating what he does as the son of perdition, Judas, in the end time, in contradistinction to the Son of Man. In other words, the anointing is true, but the anointed ones are false. It is the time of the true prophet and the false prophets. And since it is the time of the son of perdition, then the Son of Man must be present in some form. Because he said, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. So he wasn't talking about a body. He was talking about the Father in me doeth the works. And that was the same thing that happened before there was a speck of stardust, when that Son was begotten of God and the light formed and came forth. God was in Christ creating everything. Same spirit in the days of Moses. Same spirit in the day of Paul. Same spirit right now, and people don't want to believe it. They don't want to believe it, but it is true. It is that. Now listen, let's go and see this folly. We find here in 2 Timothy. And we're reading in the third chapter about the perilous time. And then it says over here, verse 7, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. These people in all of their learning, they end up in the end time satanic church. Lovers of themselves, covetous, boasters, proud, blaspheming, disobedient parents, unthankful, unholy, the natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despise that which is good, traitors, heady, high minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, of such turn away. In other words, the church is an institution because it denies the force and power of God that the Bible says is there. Oh, they said, ha, that's just phenomenon. That's just brain thing. That's just mind over matter. There's no such thing as the Spirit of God here. No such thing as a pillar of fire here. No such thing as divine healing. No such thing as this. No such thing as that. Plum educated bunch. And look where the education takes them. Now, ever learning never come to the knowledge of truth. Now, watch. Notice. Now, as Jannes and Jambres, verse 8, withstood Moses, so did these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds reprobate concerning faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be made manifest unto all.
as was also theirs. Now, he said it's the devil's folly that the bride discovers. He outsmarts himself. Yeah, he outsmarts himself because God allows it by this anointing coming. And so Satan just said, well, see, he said, I'm the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the bride of Christ. This is this. Right down the line he goes. But notice the folly of Jannes and Jambres. As it came time to pass over the Red Sea, which means getting out of here into the millennium, they die. Yep. Absolutely. They die. The same thing is as when. Now remember Hebrews 6. Let's go to it. Hebrews 6. It's impossible for those who were once for all enlightened, taste the heavenly gift, partake of the Holy Ghost, taste of the good word of God, even the dunamis, the force, the power of the world to come. Which is what? At this point. Millennium. Okay. It tells you right here that these people with this anointing will claim that they're going into Canaan land. But watch. The power of the world to come. They turn it down. Now watch what the power of the world to come is this. Moses sent out 12 spies representing 12 tribes. They went into Canaan's land and they saw the grapes, they saw the harvest, they saw everything. And they said, we can't take it. In other words, we cannot get out of here over into there. There's something radically wrong. Oh yes, we know it is time, but we're waiting for some great, big, tremendous thing to happen and get us out of here. Now pay attention, people on the tapes. Brother Branham warned against that. These 12 men, 10 of the 12, denied the power of God and the glory of Canaan land. Exactly what happens in Hebrews 6. Oh, we got to have this, we got to have that. They didn't need anything but the word which was delivered based upon manifested evidence when Moses said, this people going in are going in because of the word and with the word. Now let me tell you something. Brother Branham categorically said, the millennium is a further place of sanctification. I didn't know that till this week. As far as I'm concerned, my revelation is this. I don't worry about myself anymore. I've knocked myself on the head. I've hated myself. I've ground myself in my tears, and I've beat myself down. But I'm going to tell you something. There's going to be a further sanctification over there, so I don't much care what's going on here, long as I got the word. I'm not saying I'm going to be some kind of a devil and be a lying, filthy thief and robber and deceiver. I'm not saying that. I'm saying Brother Branham said there's a further sanctification of this earth and everything included over there. And I'm waiting for that time because I can see what the prophet meant finally. But these people deny the power of this word. That's why I keep saying it's his word that counts, wrapped in the robes of his word. Well, Satan wraps his bunch. Then you talk about gifts and things. I don't say you definitely align yourself up with the son of perdition, but you be careful that you're lined up with the son of man. And you'll never have it unless it comes out of the Word. Because he said, as the Father worketh in me. And we know that gifts are separate from God. They're simply gifts. We believe in the gift of God, which is eternal life, which is Christ, and not these others. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with them. I'm just saying you better watch out. Now, Brother Branham says in 165, see the two opposing spirits at work. All right, see the two spirits at work. Let's take a look at it. 2 Thessalonians, 2nd chapter. At the time this great one comes down, the judge. Now we beseech your brethren by the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ having come down and by our gathering together unto him. Now what's he come down with? A shout, which is putting the church in order by the word. See? Now let's look at that church again. The church was in order. In the fourth chapter of Ephesians, there's one body, one spirit. You're called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one Father. Now there's the church in order. You tell me it's not in order? 1 Corinthians 15 puts it in order. That's the chrusma. All right. That you be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by word nor by spirit nor word nor letter as from us. Well, you can take anything here and say, Paul said it, Paul said it, Paul said it, Paul said it. A vindicated prophet comes along and says, yeah, Paul did say it, but you got the wrong meaning. Now, Paul gave them the genuine, correct revelation. Let no man deceive any means, for that day shall not come except to come a falling away first. Now, there's interpolation there, so forget it. I said, that day shall not come by any means, except to come a falling away first. Now, that's sure, that is positively, shows that's the time of the divorce. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now, notice, the man of sin is revealed as what? The son of perdition. What's the son of perdition? That's Judas out there doing all the mighty works that all the rest did. And absolutely one is the devil. Absolutely of the devil. And when the Spirit of God was lifted off of Judas, the devil came right in plunk and took over. In other words, what am I telling you? When the Pentecostals run their finish, the devil takes them hook, line, and sinker. You say, no, Brother Bill, you're crazy this morning, spiritually insane, to contest the Word of God. Chaff is burnt with fire unquenchable, leaving neither root nor branch. And Brother Branham said that was the last part of Pentecost. I'm not against gifts. People think that. Look, I'm going to tell you something. You've got the guts to come with me back here. Let's see if there's gifts. I'm not afraid. I'm not even supposed to be with you, but I'm not afraid. Brother Branham said, I'll go with you. I'll go with you. I'm not at all afraid. Why should I be? Nothing to be afraid of. It's in the Word, isn't it? I'd be giving checks and balances. Now it says right here, this fella, the man of sin, who is as the son of perdition, is that spirit that's in the church the same time that one comes down. And when he is incarnated, Satan is incarnated. Plain as ABC, said the two spirits in the church. And they're opposing each other. Can you see it? In this evil age. What evil age is that? The age of Cain and Abel. A true revelation and an opposite revelation from Satan. Absolute each other's throats. Now, I give better than I take many times when I read these wild women telling these things. They're not even supposed to handle the Scripture, but she does. So I can see she can egg her husband on and all the good Trinitarians to come and blast me, but it's all right. It's a free country, and I can still say it until they pay the price for it. So let's just keep moving. Each very religious, the two spirits, Cain and Abel, spirits coming to their heads. Okay, what was the head back there in the time of Abel? God himself came down to Adam and started the blood covenant and sacrifice and man's approach to God to get back into fellowship and in worship along the way. What about Cain? Where did he get his? He got his from a perversion of Scripture by the working of his own mind as Satan instigated. Cain and Abel, spirits again coming to their heads, because that's where the head started. Still the same as they started. One worshiping by beauty and by knowledge, education, science, and ethics, and the other by one by the faith of the revelation of the Word of God. Both of them are standing in this building this morning. That's right. How'd you like to have been there that morning? I was there, as far as I recall. Prophets stand up and say, both spirits right in this building right now. And you know those spirits don't mean one thing unless there's people there to grab them, and there to grab the people. A spirit can do nothing until it has some form to work in and through. Even the word of the devil, if it were written just like this book here, would be of no consequence unless somebody picked it up and said, hey, hey, that's great, I like that. Wouldn't do a thing. He's got to have some medium, got to have a conduit. So, here is the spirit of Cain that came from the enemy. And he denies, now listen, he denies that he is the seed of the serpent. He said it was not sex. There's no such thing as seed of serpent sexually. Physically, it's only a spiritual thing. He said, I'm not that at all. And he said, that didn't happen. No, sir, it didn't. But it did happen, but he's a cover-up on it. You know, the Jews knew it happened. They had a cover-up. Oh, yeah, but he said, we're not it. You'll find it every time. Just like the Jews said when the question came, is not this the son of David? They said, no, that's the other one. This one does not work by God. This one works by Satan. We've got the same thing today. There's no difference. And they talk about beautiful buildings and beautiful this and that. Cain was the child of the serpent. He denied it. How many people are going to say that I'm a child of the enemy? Why, there's no such thing as that. But they'll believe this stupid junk about the sixth chapter of Genesis where the sons of God saw the daughters of men were fair. And these were these roaming angels, fallen angels, and they looked down upon women and lusted. How can you lust when you haven't got sex organs? The Bible said they're like angels in heaven. There's no sex. And if they had them potentially, how are they going to get them? Unless God started a race. You talk about stupid. Oh, but they believe it all over the universe. You see, that gets rid of the serpent seed idea. Oh, yeah. This is the fact that these men went into these women, that is, these angelic beings, pressed themselves in human flesh. What human flesh and how they press? Because they can't create. They can't propagate. I'll get some answers. But it's all written down in their books. And they say, these brought forth the giants. Then where are they today? If an angel came down to a woman, these men then should have been superior to human beings, spiritually speaking. You know, they're crazy. Plum goats. Plum devil. But they'll get by this every way they can. Then you'll get the others come by science. Ain't no such thing. Darwin proved that. Did he? Didn't prove anything. All he proved, you get some white pigeons, and they're bred white, you get some brown ones, you let them all mix up, they go back to slate gray again. No different than Mandel's law. They haven't proved anything. Species are dying every day. Why aren't more coming into being? See, they're liars, and they know it. See? They turn down the spirit of wisdom, which is Christ, in order to take the spirit of the enemy, and they do it. And he said, both are right here in this church. It's exactly true. Well, so much for an hour and a half, three paragraphs. We'll get finished, though, don't worry. Because all I got to do is take one more page, and I can just read like fury from that point on. No, I can't either. The fury doesn't end for several more pages. Well, just looked at my notes and I can see the red, the green, and all those markings means you've got to take special care with that. All right, let's rise and be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you again for the opportunity we have given by you, Lord, to come together in this place that you gave us specifically. We're grateful for it, Lord, to be able to bring forth what the prophet said, to bring it right down to the strong, nitty-gritty parts, Lord. We can really realize what is going on. But, Father, we know that if the Holy Spirit does not bring it into our hearts and minds, then, Father, where do we stand? We just stand all the more condemned. But yet, Lord, we have this hope that this very word that the prophet said was in us, and he talks about it, would come to life. Talks about the one coming to bring that word that can be truly anointed by the Holy Ghost because it is the Rhema, which now will become Logos within us. And we become that Logos predestinated for this hour, which we know, Lord, is going to be a people that will be standing here, absolutely transfigured, transformed. It's a complete metamorphosis. Your plan, Lord, brought to pass, which is the great way to look at it. Not just think of metamorphosis, anybody likes that. But to really realize we're identified with the Word of God, right to the very members. These members, Lord, that are actually strange to us. We enjoy them. We love it and all. Yet we know it's the very thing that causes us all these miseries and things, because if we didn't have these bodies, we wouldn't have these sense instruments which bear down upon our minds and turn light, Lord, into shadows. Twist that which ought not to be twisted. So, Lord, we're going to be glad to get a change. Not that we want to get away from it, as though getting another figure would be the answer. We know that's not it. We know it's getting a changed body that is it. Will you take again, as Brother Branham said, not through sex, but by the divine power of the Holy Ghost and resurrection, you change these bodies and you bring back the bodies that are gone to dust and ashes, where he talked about the petroleum, the potash, even cosmic light, and all those things are involved within us because they're there. There'll be electrical forces, all of those things there, circuitry. Whatever the protein is, changed. Everything changed. But we're going to be ourselves. Then going on to further period. And then coming to that last great place. My Lord, what vistas of hope and beauty and wonderment rise before our eyes as we see what's in store for a bride. And we can say with Brother Branham, I hope we can say it more and more truthfully every time, that if we're not bride, there's a bride out there somewhere. And by the grace of God, we won't stand in their way. But like the friends of the bridegroom, rejoice, for the great marriage of the Lamb has come. Help us today, Lord, to such an extent that we have, as it were, the gifts of the Spirit, those things put on a shelf. We don't get rid of them. But put on a shelf, as it were, in the sweet Spirit of Christ come into the church, and people get healed left and right, Lord. People get healed. I believe you've been doing it. I believe you'll continue to do it. I believe, Lord, that we can, should be, shall be healed. You want us to be healed. We want that healing, Lord, in our bodies, but we want above all the healing of the Word, rising with healing in your wings, changing our very natures, putting the soul in full compatibility with every part of us. Until we see people, Lord, that are not because of some manifestation, something they do, but because of they are intrinsically true children of God, led by the shepherd, led by the voice, knowing that the man and the word is one and the voice is one. We've seen it in this hour. We don't have to have any doubts. We know it's been completely made real to us. It's been manifested. Now, with these thoughts, Lord, we pray definitely, sincerely, that your Spirit was given to us within us specifically for the very great purpose of bringing all things to our mind, not letting us forget these things that we've learned from the prophet, Lord. Doesn't matter what I say about them, but what the prophet said, that's what counts. His very words that he said, not departing from us, but becoming an absolute part of us, constantly within our minds, drawing our attention. This very wisdom that came forth, Lord, as Paul prophesied, he said it would, setting the church in order, separating the false from the true, separating the sheep from the goats, right down the line, Lord, bringing us out of denominations, washing us forever away from the creeds and the dogmas, running from the filth of the flesh which they brought upon us, Lord, all these things of unbelief. Grant this today, Lord God. We'll give you the glory in Jesus' name, we pray, amen. Take the name